Well, tell me about your father then.
My father was an important influence on my life. My mother was, but my father was, I would say, a greater influence. He was born in a place called Arbitaleri, which is up in the valleys, and in 1911. And he was the youngest, I think, of eight children. His father died when he was 6 months old. So my father was born in July. His father, whose grave I will see, died in the December. A youngish man, probably middle-aged, 50s probably. Worked very hard. He was a glazier, used to cart glass on his back, you know, over mountains and whatever. So his eldest brother was about 19 years older than my father. So there were boys and girls and whatever. And they were already working down the mines, what have you. So my father was born in Abertillery in 1911. In 1914, apparently, so my father tells me, there was a knock on the door. First World War had started. Sorry, Mrs. Kammerman, because Mr. Kammerman was already dead. You have to move from here, because Abertillery is in Gwent, which is an industrial town, an industrial county. And you have to go up to a county that is considered to be rural, which was Breconshire. So they went, they moved over a couple of days, apparently they had a few days' notice. They had to move out of their little place, whatever it was, in Abertillery. My father did show me once, it was down in the dip by the railway line there, up to Bryn Mawr. And so they moved to Bryn Mawr, to a couple of rooms somewhere, I don't know where they got it. So, you know, that was, can you imagine, you know, got to move, got to go.
So your father would have been about three then?
Three or four. And when he was 11, I think when he was 10 or 11, he had a peritonitis. Now, in those days, it's a burst appendix. In those days, people mostly didn't live from one of those things. But the local hospital, Bryn Mawr County Hospital or whatever it was, they fixed him up. But my grandmother so doted on my father because she was the youngest. He was quite bright. You know, she didn't want him to go down the pit. She didn't want him to do work. She didn't want him to, you know, she cosseted him to the extent that she wouldn't send him to school even. So the school board people came, you know, a few times. My grandmother said, no, my Cyril, the way she spoke English, I remember her slightly, is not going to school. Well, he has to go to school, Mrs. Cameron. He's not going to school. Anyway, it's happened for about 6 months, I'm told. And in the end, she relented, and he went to the local county school, which is like a grammar school, I suppose. And there, although they'd fixed his peritonitis up, he always had a very big scar and problems with his tummy around there. But there he excelled, and he was one of the, I think he was the first boy in the early 20s to go from Bryn Mawr to Cardiff University. And he studied history at Cardiff University. And every weekend he'd come home, help his mother in the shop. He'd go to Milford Haven to get fish and come up, you know, drive to Milford Haven, then come up to Bryn Mawr to bring her the fish for the weekend and whatever. And my uncle used to have a stall also on the market. My two uncles had a stall, and they used to pitch against each other, you know, all selling fruit and veg and fish. You don't want to buy from Cyril, that's my father. What does he know about potatoes? He's a university boy. They used to really, you know, put the knife in. Anyway, so then he went to Cardiff. He got a job teaching in Cardiff. And somehow, I can't remember how, he was introduced to my mother in Newport. And as I'm told, they were real lovebirds. And he said to me, he says, that was a terrible teacher. I don't believe him for 1 minute, because he's very persuasive. He was quite, what's the word when somebody is inspirational, you know. So I think he would have been a good teacher, even if he didn't think he was. So during the war, they were married, and, you know, they went to live in Bangor, North Wales. And they lived next to some people called Mr. and Mrs. Rubin. Her name was Dolly, I remember. I can't remember what his name was. And this was just before the war. My elder sister was born in Bangor, and he got a job selling ice cream for Walls. No, Walls, I think it was. Yes, Walls ice cream. You know, to shops and things like that. He didn't have an ice cream van, selling to shops. And this was about 2 months before war broke out. War broke out, who the hell wants ice cream? So he had to do something else. Because of his problem with his tummy, he couldn't join the forces. Right. But he was in, I think he was in the Home Guard or something like that. And he worked, they came back down to South Wales, and he worked in a company called Northern Aluminium, which was in Rogerston, which is now part of the Alcan Group, I think. And he worked there during the war, and also worked for McAlpine's first, you know, building roads and whatever the McAlpine's did in those days. And then he went to work for Northern Aluminium in Rogerstone, also near Newport. And then when the war finished, my youngest sister was then born straight after the war. So I was born during the war, my elder sister was born before the war, my younger sister was born after the war. And he obviously decided he wanted to open up a business. And he got together with a partner. I don't even know how he met the partner, but the partner was from the Midlands. And he turned out to be a drunk, but that's beside the point. And they were offering money, as they still do, the Welsh Development Agency, to people who wanted to open up businesses. And he opened it up in the valleys in a place called Hirwaun, H-I-R-W-A-U-N. And he opened up a foundry because Bert Cooper, was an expert foundry man. He was an expert in this, but not very much of it anyway. And they got going. My father was the kind of front of house, going out getting the business and whatever. And he knew a bit about engineering and what he picked up when he was with Northern Aluminium and whatever. And they built up a good business, during which time Bert Cooper, you know, just, you know, it didn't make the grade, so they parted company. I don't know what kind of deal they did, but they parted company. He got help from the Welsh Development Agency. He got help from poor Jewish people in Newport and from a local stockbroker in Cardiff. The lawyer in Newport knew the stockbroker. And he set up in business a foundry, a non-ferrous, that's aluminium initially, foundry, making parts for the aircraft industry, familiar with sand castings, die castings, all that kind of thing. He built up a very successful business. And all during this time, I was growing up, you know, he was involved in the community, and he worked very hard, as did my mother in the community. And I was being groomed. That's what I was going to be, the world's best foundry man. I was going to be, take over the business, and that's what I was going to be. And he was a persuasive man. He was an inspirational man in a quiet way. And I kind of thought, well, that's what they want. That's, you know, in those days you did what was expected of you.
So that's why you did metallurgy?
Correct.
Mm.
But I didn't do very much metallurgy, as I told you before. But I knew enough, right? And I could read engineering drawings, I could do all that stuff.